There are a number of passages which reflect in the gospel, the fact that our Lord raised the standard of morality when he came into the world. He said, for example, "I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." He also said, "I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you." And here, our Lord is telling us that the standard of fraternal charity, not only the standard of our love for God, but our standard for one another, is raised above the bar of the Ten Commandments, which is the natural law. We are asked not only to love those who do good to us, but also to love our enemies. And we're told not only not to kill, but not even to allow our anger to fester, so that we make sure that we are right with our neighbor before we come to bring our offering to God. Now, when our Lord said this before his suffering and death, when he said about bringing a gift to the altar, his hearers would have understood him to be talking about a gift being brought to the temple in Jerusalem, where gifts were offered for sin and as a sacrifice to God. And that's all they would have basically understood at that moment. But for us, and for those who witnessed the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of our Lord, they would have come to understand that our Lord had something else in mind. That when he said, "Before you bring your gift to the altar, go and reconcile with your brother," he's talking about the Eucharist, ultimately. And that when we come to the altar of God to receive our Lord in the Eucharist, we are bringing the gift of ourselves and everything that's attached to us, our hopes and dreams, our imperfections that we're lifting up to God to be perfected and repaired. We bring our families, all of our cares, everything. We come and we offer to God, and hopefully we are giving him the best that we have. That's really the basic standard of the worship of God, is to bring him the first fruits. We worship on the first day of the week for that reason, and because Jesus rose on the first day of the week. But we give God the very best that we have. Our Sunday worship represents that, and it should realize that as we come to the altar. And ultimately, we are called to offer Jesus to the Father. We receive our Lord in the Eucharist, and we offer him to the Father, because ultimately, he is the best that we have. And anything else of value in our life is given value by the fact that he is present, and he makes it possible for our love merely to be something more than merely a natural love, to be something supernatural and salvific, to be something that is a channel of grace, not only for ourselves, but others as well. And so, in the first place, when our Lord says, "Before you come to the altar and offer your gift to God," that gift in the first place is Jesus. And then in Christ, it is ourselves and everything that is attached to us. And therefore, when our Lord says, "Before you do that, you got to go reconcile with your brothers and sisters," our Lord is telling us that we really don't offer him a sacrifice that is pleasing to him if we are withholding our charity from others. It doesn't mean that we're not going to ever have conflict, or that this is a command that we should never disagree, that the highest standard is tolerance, to the point where tolerance becomes a dogma. We tolerate not only sinners, of which we are all members, but we also tolerate falsehood and evil. Our Lord is not calling us to tolerate falsehood and evil, but he is calling us to recognize that no matter where we are in our spiritual life or where we imagine ourselves to be, we in reality are all in need of God's mercy. And none of us are able to see the way God sees. Remember when Samuel went to the sons of Jesse because God told him that the king would be chosen from among the sons of Jesse, and Samuel thought that the biggest and the strongest would be the one that God chose. And God told Samuel, no, I have rejected him. You know, man sees with the eyes, but God looks into the heart. We can make all kinds of estimations about other people and ourselves as well, which may have nothing to do with the way that God sees the reality. But the fact of the matter is that we all know that before God, we are in need of his mercy and his love and his forgiveness. That's true for each and every one of us. And so then the standard of that charity, which our Lord revealed in other places, of loving one another as he has loved us, is, you know, to love from the cross. And that's why our Lord says, before you come to the altar and offer me to the Father, make sure that you are conformed yourself to the cross. I got up on the cross because you were wicked, not because you were good. I suffered and died to redeem you from your sins, not to deliver you from your virtues. And he did it for all of us. And therefore, you know, that is the standard at which we live. And this is why St. Peter speaks to the earliest Christian communities with these words of charity. Be ye all of one mind, having compassion of one another, being lovers of the brotherhood, merciful, modest, humble, not rendering evil for evil, not railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. For unto this you are called, that you may inherit a blessing. Okay, so our Lord is, through St. Peter, is telling us that we should not be inclined, you know, to be angry. And this is a paradox and a difficulty, especially in our modern world. A lot of times things go unaddressed in society, or for example within the church with the scandal, because probably there's not enough anger. Habitual abusers and criminals and people who are harming the common good often go uncorrected because people don't get angry about what's actually happening. And anger is an emotion which helps us to overcome obstacles and threats to our well-being. God gave us that emotion so that we would fight against evil. We should seek what is good and resist what is evil. And anger is a very useful tool to do that. If we didn't get angry, sometimes we would just die. You know, we would not resist being attacked, or a person's family being harmed. Would not resist that. So anger is an emotion, and in of itself, you know, it's given to us for a good reason. And in us, as a power, it's indifferent. It only becomes good or bad when we make choices. And the problem is that for the vast majority of people, it's very difficult to be angry in a virtuous way. Doesn't mean we can't, but it does mean that we need to really, really pray and be generous and be willing to suffer. He who is not willing to suffer cannot be angry in a virtuous way. In fact, St. Bonaventure defines anger, the vice, not the emotion, but the vice of anger, the capital sin of anger, as fear of suffering. Now, there's sometimes when anger is useful because we need to escape a certain suffering that God doesn't want us to have. But sometimes we are called to suffer. And we are as Christians in Christ, who are conformed to Jesus on the cross and who bring ourselves to the altar and then offer Jesus to his Father, who is crucified, Jesus who is crucified to his Father, we are called to suffer. And we are called to suffer for one another. We are called to help each other get to heaven. And there's no way, forget all the pious imaginings about helping people to get to heaven by reciting pious prayers and just being nice all the time, or by being angry when we see a sinner that that doesn't conform to the way we think they should be living. These things are not going to get us to heaven or our brothers and sisters. What's going to get us and our brothers and sisters in heaven is our willingness to carry the cross. So if we are willing to carry the cross and to do it joyfully and to do it out of love, true and sincere commitment to the common good, to the welfare of other people, then we just might be able to control our anger and use it in a profitable way. But if we're just simply indulging our own fear of suffering, if we're simply indulging our own frustration, then it's something different. And so we always have to put first the standard of charity and remember that we're all in the same boat. We all not only suffer because of other people, but we are the cause, each and every one of us, to the last man and woman, are the cause of suffering for other people. And who could actually, in the end, weigh things out? You know, who here is capable, really, of saying who's worse or who's better and telling everyone else the way that God sees each and every individual soul? We don't know. All we know is that from a human point of view, our sins outweigh our virtues. It's only through the merits of Christ that his grace and mercy outweigh our vices. There's a beautiful image that was painted in many English medieval churches on the walls. I've never seen it anywhere else, and I've never seen it repeated in modern times, but in the medieval churches of England, there's an image of Saint Michael, and in his left hand, he's holding his sword. He's got his hand on the hilt, and he's got it on the ground, the tip on the ground. And in his right hand, he's holding a scale. And on one side of the scale, there are demons, little demons on the scale, and they're jumping around and falling off, and they represent the vices. And on the other side of the scale, there's a man and a woman kneeling down, and they're praying. And then on the other side of St. Michael, on the other side of the scale, is the Blessed Mother, and she's dressed in robes and ermine in a queenly attire with a crown, and she's putting her hand on the scale and she's pushing it down. So she's pushing down the side of the man and the woman. And in reality, that's the way things are. Our sins outweigh our virtues, and if we don't think that that's the case, then you know we need probably to do a little bit, or probably a lot more prayer. But God's mercy and the maternal solicitude of his mother are greater than anything that weighs us down. So we all need to realize that we're together in this as followers of Jesus, and therefore we need to seek his mercy for ourselves and for others as well, and do whatever we can to make to reconcile ourselves with our enemies. You know, it's easy to reconcile ourselves with our friends. We sometimes get into scrapes with our friends, and eventually we work things out. But it's our enemies that are the problem, and sometimes our enemies are in our own household. You know, there's a sort of a love-hate relationship going on sometimes, and we need to ask Jesus and our Blessed Mother to bring healing there, because it's only through God's grace that that is possible. But it's only where that healing happens that we really have a gift that is worthy of our Lord to offer here at the altar. We want our hearts to go along with our offering, and we pray that our hearts be pure and holy after the model of our shepherd and our King, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Christus.